I come in here. And I'll say, Lord, what should I say to the people? What should I say? Because I never know what to say. And of course, whenever I ask that question, I get these thousands of things coming into my mind all at one time. And I know it can't actually be of the Lord because He ain't going to say that much to me at one time. He knows my mind. He knows I can only handle one thing at a time. But all these thoughts come to me. And the one thing that kept coming to me is Ephesians. It's in Ephesians, it's the 14th chapter. I'm sorry, the 4th chapter. So I say, boy, that book grew in a hurry. Sprouted chapters. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. And we've read much of this. We've studied the 3rd chapter. How that Paul said that the mysteries of God were given to the apostles and prophets. We've studied how in verse 11 of the 4th chapter, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. 5 ministries. 5 ministries to do 3 works for the perfecting of the saints. That's work number 1. For the work of the ministry is number 2. For the edifying of the body of Christ, it's number 3. We've gone through that. We've studied that. How that the apostles and prophets' job was to perfect the saints. That the evangelists and pastors' job is to do the work of the ministry. And that the teacher's job is to edify the body of Christ. And we also studied on how long this is supposed to last. Contrary to some people. Contrary to what some people say. We've studied how long it's to last. And it is till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We've studied this. We've looked at this. This is how long this is supposed to last. I do not see the church coming to that point yet. Not with all these different denominations and all these different teachings and everybody saying something else and everybody saying something different and everybody accusing this one of being that and that one of being this and this one of being something else. Doesn't sound like much unity there. Amen. But I want to go, if you will, a little further. I want to go to verse 12 and 13 and 14. We read 12 and 13. I'm going to go to 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is what Paul's saying here. That the Holy Spirit was given him. The purpose of the 5 ministries, the purpose of the 5 works, is to bring the saints to the point where they're not children anymore. Jesus said, "Lest you come unto me as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." But you know what? At no time did Jesus say you're supposed to stay like that forever. I look at the church today, and I don't see men of God. I don't see women of God. I see spoiled, rotten, mealy mouth, sniveling, crybaby children. That's what I see. Selfish. They want everything their way when they want it, and if they don't get it, they pout. That's what I see in the church. Paul said that these ministries were given to bring the church up and to perfect it. That these ministries would last until it was perfected. And that one of the works it would do is this, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is what God wants for his church today. We read over in Jude how Jude said to contend, fight. To fight for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Because people had come in unawares. People had come in and deceived the church and had defiled God's word. And we look at the church today. Does the church follow the gospel that Jesus preached? Is the church today in any semblance, form, or shape what that first church was? Is it normal for a person to come to the Lord today and speak in tongues and prophesy and go out and heal the sick and cast out devils? Is that normal in the church today? Then something's wrong in the church today. And what's wrong in the church today is liars have come in and taught the people, and the people would rather believe them because the liars will stroke you. The man of God will stand in one place and he'll say, this is what the Word of God says and this is what you're to do. And if you don't like it, go suck your thumb somewhere else. We don't have time for it here. Time to grow up. Today, I'm a part of this ministry. Today, I feel good. I'll be a part of this ministry. But then the next day, I don't feel good. I'm not going to be a part of the ministry. I'm going to sit off and do my own thing. Grow up. Grow up. Walk for the Lord God Almighty and be a man. Be a woman. Learn to walk and give your life to Jesus Christ. When we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we say the words, but do we know what we're saying? Most of us, what we say is, save me, Lord. I'll serve you if it's convenient. But what God is saying, serve me, I'll save you. What God is saying is, serve me, I'll save you. But what you're saying is, serve me, Lord, and save me. What is it today with people? Is it such a big thing when one such as Jesus Christ gives us eternal life, gives us everlasting salvation, offers us to sit with him in his throne with his Father? Is it such a big thing to give him a few years of our life here on this earth? Is it so big a thing? The maker of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the God that stood in the fiery furnace, the God that stood in the burning bush, the God that followed the children of Israel as a rock in the desert, pouring forth the water of refreshing, the one who died on a cross to save us from our sins, and is pouring out that water of refreshing to all who will drink. Is it such a big thing to say, yes, Lord, take me, I will serve you? and do it every day. Not as children when they feel like it, but every day as men, as women. I look at Kimberly with her little baby, and I see her feed that baby every day. I don't think she's let one day go by without feeding that baby more than once. More than once. But there have been times when she hasn't felt like feeding that baby. There have been times when she probably felt like bouncing that baby off the wall. Nothing more frustrating than trying to put food in the baby's mouth and it comes all back out again. Here, eat little baby. Eat little baby. I'm watching that baby and I see you. Here, take, the Lord says, here, take some of this. I don't want that. Now come on, eat some of it. I don't want that. Watching that baby eat is like watching the church being fed the Word of God. Some of it they like. Bleed it right up. But some of it they'll spit right back out. Ooh, I don't like that. And then I watch Ricky Baldwin when he first came to us. When he first came to live with us. What a funny sight that was. We'd put something on the table. Ooh, I don't like that. Ooh, I don't like that. See, because when he was growing up, his mother would feed him only those things he liked. And he learned to reject what he didn't like and only take what he did like. And when he came to know the Lord, he did the same thing. He took what he liked and refused what he didn't like. But God knew what he needed, and he put him with me. And me being a nice guy made sure he got a lot of those things he didn't like. I fed him everything he didn't like. I went out of my way to find things he didn't like. I went and asked his brother, what does Ricky hate? And I found out all these foods, and I ordered my wife to fix them instead of eat them, or you've got no part in me. And the ultimate challenge is when we went on revival down to Maryland and got to try it out. I'll tell you what, I've eaten some stuff, praise God. But you know in the Bible where it says if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. I stood on that scripture that day. I stood on that scripture. Because that woman brought out some kind of a fixture, and it looked like a cat had thrown up, and she put peas and beans and some other crap in it, and it was the slimiest, whitest, kind of god-awfulest stuff you'd ever want to look at, sitting there on that plate, and I mean it did look unhealthy, and it smelled unhealthy, and it tasted unhealthy, but we blessed it and we said praise God and we ate it, and God blessed us for it. God blessed us for it. Amen. When you go out on revival, you eat what's put before you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Go into the town and you get into that house and eat whatsoever is put before you, asking nothing. Yet get some of you out there and you, ooh, I don't know if I care for that, or no, I wouldn't like that, or no, thank you for this, and no, thank you for that. Because you've been taught not only to be as children, but you've never been taught to grow up. Now, I know you came to church to hear this. I know this just thrills some of you. But it's the truth. It's the truth. It's what you need. Fortunately, when I was raised to eat everything given to me. And sometimes I used to think my mother hated me. I knew she just went out of her way to fix things that I hated just to make me mad. But she would fix four or five things in one night And I mean, what do you eat first? I mean, I hate it all. But I had to eat it. And I learned. The Lord showed me years later. It taught me. As it is with food, some things you don't like, but it's good for you. So it is with the Word of God. Some things in the Word of God you may not like, but it's all good for you. And the job of the ministry is to perfect you, is to bring you up and teach you so that you're not as children anymore. You watch children, watch them, and you can learn. You can learn from children. Watch the little boy over here, Matthew, how when the music's coming along, he's just as happy as pie. He's just as happy as pie. But as soon as the music stops, he's wanting to do something else. That's his age. That's the age he is. You see what I'm saying? And he doesn't know any better. But imagine if he's older, as your age, and he still acts that way. You see? Jimmy over here is smiling at me because he still acts that way. Come to Brother Richard's church, man, and get your name named. Amen. There's no secrecy here. The witness of the Lord said, that which is done in secret, shout it from the rooftops. Praise God. Give me a rooftop. Lord, tell me, I'll shout it. Hallelujah. But that's the message, and that's the gospel, what we've got to learn. We've got to learn to eat that which we like and eat that which we don't like. We've got to learn to grow up and be no more children. Be no more children. That means sometimes step out and do things you don't want to do. That means if you're sitting in a meeting and you're three of you in a meeting and a brother of yours in the Lord is being attacked from someone, that means you get involved. That means you jump in the middle of it. That means you don't let him hang out there to dry. That means you stand up for what's right and what's proper instead of sitting back keeping your mouth shut because you don't want to make waves or make somebody unhappy. That means when you see a situation going down and you know what's right, you speak out. Glorify the Lord. We're going to be having a series of meetings this week. Every night, 7 o'clock. It's kind of a surprise. Yesterday, the Lord surprised me with it. Should have seen me scrambling around trying to get everybody organized, put this tent up. What time did we decide? 4 o'clock?
4:30.
4 o'clock we decided. We started working on it.
4:30 I called you and asked you about it.
Oh, no. I couldn't get you out of there before 4:30. It was about 4 o'clock. About 4 o'clock we decided. It was 4:30 before you started moving. But we got it moving. And believe it or not, we got it up. Didn't do half bad job. Forgot how to put it up. Isn't that terrible? Ooh, Lord forgive me. Forgot how to put the tent up. I remember we had to lay out the canvas. I remember that part. But we couldn't figure out how we used to put the poles up. Love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a series of meetings. And the theme of these meetings, as far as I know right now, is let's grow up. Let's use these meetings to grow up. Serve the Lord. And put ourselves totally in His will. Amen. We had a good meeting last night. We had a good meeting. We had a... What did we do? What was that we did in a circle? No. Yeah. Consecrated ourselves. That's right. Some of us that were here last night, we got on our knees and we consecrated ourselves. And I told them afterwards, oh, by the way, that thing which is consecrated dies, you know. forgot to tell you that part. Consecrated ourselves to the Lord, to serve Him. And that's what we're going to do this week. Amen. And those of you that come, and if you bring anyone else, bring them on them. But those of you that come, let's come to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Let's come to grow up. Let's use this week a week to grow up. Amen. Now, I won't be here some of the time. Some of the time I won't be here because I have to be elsewhere. I'll be down in Massachusetts part of the time. But the part that I can be here, I'll be here. Ricky will be here, and he is perfectly capable of following the Lord. Any man that can go out and catch a rabbit barehanded when he's ordered to, wild, is capable of following the Lord's orders. Amen. So come for him, come for me, but let it be for the Lord. And then I'll surprise you. You won't know what night I'll show up. Amen.